Well, good morning. So good to see all of you this morning, this beautiful morning that we have. And this morning we are in our fourth week of our series on the gospel. And so far, I hope that you've enjoyed, I hope you've been encouraged by this series, by the truth of the gospel and the power of preaching the gospel to ourselves. And last week we looked at why it is imperative for a thriving faith for us to remind ourselves of the gospel daily, to preach the gospel to ourselves on a daily basis, to remind ourselves that Jesus died instead of us and the power of the gospel in our lives. And this week, I want to answer the question, why it is imperative that we share the gospel with others. But I want to do it in a little different way this week because we hopefully know that as you read scripture, as you seriously read the New Testament, that we know that it is already commanded to us that we share the gospel. As you flip through the pages of the New Testament, you will see time and time again the imperative, the command to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, most notably in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8. And so this morning, I want to look at a teaching from Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Matthew chapter 10. We'll be starting in verse 16. And I want to answer that question, why is it imperative that we share the gospel? By looking at a passage, by looking at a teaching that Jesus gives to his disciples before sending them out to share the gospel with others. And this morning, I hope that we'll be able to answer the question from this text, why can we have courage when we share the gospel? Because we know that it is commanded to us as followers of Jesus. We know that Jesus commands us to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And so my hope this morning is to look at why we can have courage when we share the gospel. So Matthew chapter 10, we'll be starting in verse 16. And the context of this passage, so Jesus at the beginning of chapter 10, he calls his 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles, the original disciples, to him. And he gives them authority to go proclaim the good news, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And then he gives them some additional instructions. And then we come to verse 16. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. There's a lot to unpack in that text. It's a pretty serious, kind of weighty teaching from Jesus. But my hope this morning is that we can unpack three reasons why we can have courage when we share the gospel from this teaching from Jesus. And the first reason that we can have courage in sharing the gospel is because we belong to Jesus. The first reason that we can have courage comes from our identity. As followers of Jesus, we belong to the King. We belong to the King. The context of Matthew chapter 10 is the sending out of the 12 apostles to bear witness about Jesus and the kingdom of God, the good news. And Jesus gives the apostles the instructions in verses 5 through 15, and then he encourages them with the words that we read this morning. But going back to the identity that we have, Jesus is sending out his 12 apostles, his sent ones, to bear witness about him. And if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, if you belong to Jesus through salvation, that is your identity and your calling as well, to bear witness to Jesus, to bear witness to the King. Amen. Remember the words of Jesus in Acts 1:8. You, plural, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a witness to everyone around you to the name of Jesus. And that life calling of being a witness comes through or comes from our identity as children of God, saved from our sin by the blood of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we belong to the King and we are his ambassadors in this foreign world that we live in. If you've ever traveled overseas before, you may have made yourself aware of where the United States Embassy is located in the country you're traveling. Because if you are in need of assistance, or if you need representation while in another country, as a United States citizen, you would go to the U.S. Embassy because their ambassadors there represent your home country. Now, whenever you step into the embassy, you are under the jurisdiction of your home country, though you're in a foreign land. And in the same way, the church universal, if it is a Bible-believing, gospel-centered church, every church is an embassy of the kingdom of God in a foreign land. When you walk into the church, you are walking into a place where we are serving the King of Kings, a different kingdom than the one that we live in now. And followers of Jesus, we are ambassadors of the King. We fly the flag of Jesus Christ, not only here on Sundays, but every day in between. But when you belong to an embassy, or when you fly the flag of that country or kingdom, there is always the risk of opposition. We've seen before, when there are tensions between the United States and another country, one of the first concerns is to make sure that the U.S. embassy in that country is secure and the people who work in that embassy, because that embassy represents the United States of America. Many of you would vividly remember the Iranian hostage crisis that took place in 1979. Now, there are many other political factors and global factors here, and so this analogy is not apples to apples here. But because of political factors that were happening between the United States and Iran, the U.S. Embassy was a representation of America. And because of that, about 60 United States ambassadors and diplomats were taken captive and held hostage. And some were released because they were deemed to not represent America as much as others. And the reason why this happened is because the embassy that was in Iran represented the United States. They were flying the flag of America. Now again, this analogy breaks down eventually because there's a lot of other factors that come in play. But the main point is this. Because of who they represented, the country they represented, the embassy was a target. And for us as followers of Jesus, if we are truly bearing witness to who Jesus is, if we are truly flying the flag of King Jesus, being ambassadors of the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us that it won't be easy. He tells us that it's not for the faint of heart. Look again at verses 24 and 25. Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" So what is Jesus saying here? Well, he starts out by saying that a disciple isn't above his teacher, which makes sense, right? When you are coming under the authority of a teacher, my hope would be that you wouldn't think that you are above that teacher because you're coming under them for teaching and for learning. And then Jesus then says that a disciple isn't above their teacher, but they are like the teacher. And so hopefully when you are coming under the teaching of this teacher, you will become more like that teacher. You'll be conformed in their mindset, which is what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. To set our hearts on things above, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to pick up our cross and to follow Jesus. But then Jesus gives us, in that passage, a result of what can happen when we have that conformity to who Jesus is. In verse 25, if they have called the master of the house, meaning Jesus, if they've called them Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Beelzebul back in the time of Jesus was considered one of the major demons back then. We read in Mark's gospel that Jesus himself was accused by the Pharisees of being possessed by Beelzebul because he was casting out demons. So in essence, what Jesus is saying here as he's sending out his disciples to go share the gospel is, you are like me because you are my disciples. You are emulating me because you are my followers. But if they have called me, your master, a devil or a demonic evil power, just wait and see what they will call you because you are emulating me. Because of the disciples' association with Jesus, because they're flying the flag of the kingdom of God, they will be subject to the accusations and the abuse that Jesus received. If Jesus was called evil by the world, we are in line for that same accusation. And we've seen that today already, haven't we? When Christians stand up for biblical principles, when Christians stand on the Word of God as the only objective truth and guide their lives by that objective truth, we can be called unloving. We can be called bigots. We can be, or we can just be called plain evil. Because we say that this is our truth. This is the truth of God, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we align our lives with the truth of Scripture. We can be called evil for that. And most of us aren't yet facing physical and bodily persecution that our brothers and sisters are facing around the world because of their faith. But we are today bombarded by social media, by entertainment, by news, by different outlets that are going in direct contrast to a biblical worldview. They're bombarding the message of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, you either are or will face some sort of persecution because of your faith. Now again, disclaimer, it should not be because you are rude or bombastic. Because at that point, that's on you. That's a personal problem. Because Jesus begins our teaching in verse 16. If you look there, he says, as he's sending them out, he says, "Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Which means we are to be graceful in how we live and interact while remaining grounded on the truth of God's word. The word used in verse 16 for innocent, in the phrase innocent as doves, literally means unmixed. We are to be unmixed. We are to be pure and innocent in our dealings with others. And we're going to talk a little more about what that looks like next week. Now, you may be thinking, wow, Pastor Jason, I mean, we're in this series on the gospel, and we're talking about why we should share the gospel. This isn't exactly a pep talk here. Maybe some of you are thinking that. And this passage may seem a little bleak at the outset today, but these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of the Son of God. And for me as your pastor, to not share these realities with you would be, one, unbiblical, and two, it would be malpractice on my part. Because Jesus never said it would be easy. Amen. He never said it would be easy. And my prayer is that we wouldn't go through this gospel series and you're thinking, oh, great, well, I'm just going to go share the gospel without knowing what could happen. I want you to know that when you share the gospel with others or when you're living out a gospel-centered life, not everyone's going to like it. Because our Savior was on the cross. And so how can we expect anything different? Every book in the New Testament speaks about suffering. Being an ambassador for Christ in the foreign land we live in involves being bold in our witness for the King and remaining steadfast no matter the backlash. But in the midst of this, we can have courage when we share the gospel, because suffering for the gospel is actually a blessing. Now, it sounds like an oxymoron, suffering being a blessing. But it's a blessing because it actually shows that we are emulating our Savior. That's why you see all throughout the book of Acts in the early church, when the apostles were put in prison, when the apostles were beaten or flogged or whipped, they would rejoice. And they rejoiced because they knew that they were fulfilling what Jesus commanded them. Jesus said, you will suffer for my sake. And they were excited that they were counted worthy to suffer for the gospel. It still doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that suffering comes and we're just going to be peachy all throughout it. But what it does mean is that we are emulating the kingdom. And when we are living lives that are innocent and above reproach, and we receive pushback because of the gospel, we know that we're following the footsteps of our Savior. Amen. And that leads to the next reason. From Matthew chapter 10, why we can have courage when we share the gospel, and that is we rely on the shepherd, not the sheep. Our reason for having courage to share the gospel with others, and I should note that in this passage, Jesus is talking about being delivered over to governors and being persecuted and thrown in jail. That may not happen to you throughout your lifetime. It may for some of you. But this idea of having courage when we share the gospel happens even when you're interacting with others. And so I want us to see it through that lens as well. So second reason, we rely on the shepherd and not the sheep, begins in verse 16 of our passage. And Jesus says this. He says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. As Jesus sends out his disciples to bear witness about him, he uses the imagery of sheep among wolves. Now, what is the relationship between sheep and wolves? Wolves are animals that are predatorial in nature. They seek to kill and to destroy and to steal. Sheep, on the other hand, are animals that literally cannot defend themselves. Even if they tried, I'm not sure they could defend themselves from really much of anything. Sheep are defenseless animals, and they have to rely on the shepherd for protection. Jesus is telling his disciples that we are defenseless sheep in the midst of predatorial wolves. But that reality is actually encouraging. Again, there's kind of that oxymoron. That reality is encouraging because what it reveals is that though we are sheep who are in need of protection, we have a shepherd who protects and provides for us. That's the encouragement. That's the courage we can have. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's not a pastor. It's not another pastor. It's not different people in your life. That shepherd is Jesus Christ. And Jesus describes to us the protection he provides in John chapter 10. When he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So though we are sheep that are among wolves, we are to rely on the shepherd because only the shepherd Jesus has dominion and authority to provide. And how does he provide? Look at Matthew 10, 17 and following. Beware of men, Jesus says, for they will deliver you over to courts, flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. So what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, you are being sent out like sheep among wolves. So beware of these wolves, these people who want to inflict harm on you because of the gospel. And you will be dragged around like sheep are dragged around. But today, in our context, even though we're not facing that physical and bodily persecution yet, we're still to be like sheep. We still have to rely on our shepherd. Jesus continues in verse 19, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus says when the sheep are delivered and the sheep are given the opportunity to bear witness to Jesus, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about how you're going to speak. Don't be worried about what you're going to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. It's not you who speaks, but it's the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Isn't that amazing truth? That when we are delivered, and maybe you will be delivered over physically, but isn't it amazing that if you are in your driveway or you're at the grocery store or you're at school and you're talking to somebody and you feel a prompting from the Spirit to share the hope of Jesus, isn't it amazing that God will give you exactly what you need to say? What an amazing truth. I think sometimes we can get so paralyzed because we get anxious about what am I going to say? If I say this, they might not like that. If I say that, How do I get them to respond in a certain way? And then at that point, we don't share anything. But Jesus says, no, in that hour, you will be given what you need. And that reality is emulated and given in an illustration so well from the World War II Holocaust survivor, Corrie Ten Boom. She records in one of her journals that when she was younger, she was deathly afraid of losing people in her life. And with the world events that were happening, that just aided in that fear. And she was terrified of losing people in her life. And she talked to her dad about that. She was so anxious about it. And this is what her dad said. He said, Corrie, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you the ticket for the train? And Corrie writes that she sniffled a little and she replied, why, just before we get on the train. Exactly, her father said. And our wise Father in heaven knows when you're going to need things too. Don't run ahead of him, Corrie. For us as followers of Jesus, we don't need to worry about what we're going to say when we're in our driveway, when we're on a walk, when we're doing yard work, and we're coming face to face with someone who needs hope, because in that hour, the Spirit will give us what we need. And that is an amazing truth and an amazing encouragement to us as followers of Jesus. Which brings us to our final reason why we can have courage from Matthew chapter 10 when we share the gospel. And that is because our perspective is eternal. Our perspective is eternal. So after detailing what they can expect as followers of Jesus, Jesus gets to the main point of his teaching. Look at verses 26 and following. Jesus says, "So have no fear of them," meaning the wolves. "For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who cannot destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." These verses contain really the main point of this entire passage. And the main point in this passage is fear not. And we see that three times throughout these verses. And these verses have massive, massive implications for us as followers of Jesus. Our heart and our life response to these teachings will have big implications in how we live our lives here on earth. And what Jesus is communicating here is the eternal perspective we are to have day in and day out as followers of Jesus. And Jesus communicates this eternal perspective in a few different ways in these verses. So in this passage, he uses three fear nots. Have no fear of them, in verse 26, referring to the people who persecute because of the gospel. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, verse 28, speaking of any human or human institution that may kill because of the gospel. And finally, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows, verse 31. And these sparrows, or literally small birds in the original language, are always in God's sovereign sight. Monetary-wise, they're worthless. They're worth a penny. And yet, none of them are unknown to the Father. How much more are his children made in his image and saved by the blood of his Son? So we can have courage when we share the gospel because whatever happens to us here on earth, we have nothing to fear from man. And why is that? And that comes in verses 26 and 27 when Jesus says, "Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you heard whispered, proclaim on the rooftops." Jesus is telling his disciples and to us today, you will be vindicated when I return. Though you may receive backlash and persecution, you will one day be rewarded because I'm coming back. You will one day be rewarded because I will acknowledge you before my Father if you acknowledge me before men. So today, when you are brushed off at work by your coworkers as one of those crazy Christians, or at school for students, if you're targeted because you're not joining in on sinful behavior because of your faith, or when someone bristles when you share the gospel with them, you can know that when you're doing this, you are bearing witness about Jesus, and he's going to come back one day. And you can rejoice at the coming of your Savior. And you can know that throughout your life, you are bearing witness to him. And you will not be ashamed when the King returns. So we are commanded not to fear any human or any human institution when we receive backlash for the gospel. But we are told here that we do have something to fear. What we are to fear or to have complete and utter reverence for, Jesus says, is the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is another truth that, again, would be malpractice for me not to communicate, because that's part of the gospel. There is a response needed. That God is the creator, It's the first part of the gospel. God was never created. He answers to no one because he created everything and he's perfect and holy in every way. Therefore, he is the only one who is worthy to judge humanity. And my prayer this morning is that if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, my prayer is that you would say yes to Jesus this morning. Because one day, all of us will die and all of us will come face to face with God, and we have to explain our response to Jesus. Either we said yes to Jesus or we said, no, I reject Jesus. And so my prayer is that today you would choose to follow him, that you would accept that eternal life that comes only through the person and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. My prayer is that you would do that this morning. And as followers of Jesus, we are not only called to not fear the human persecution, but we're called to fear God, or to have that reverence for the God who is the holy judge of all things. As followers of Jesus, this reverence for God as the holy and yet loving and righteous judge is something that should motivate us. It should motivate us in our sharing of the gospel and how we interact with others. We are motivated to share the gospel because we know that every person, when they die, will come face to face with the living God. And our motivation in our heart should be that we want people to know the saving truth of Jesus. Not only to give them abundant life now, but to give them eternal life when they die. But another aspect of fearing the Lord, or having this reverence for him, is that we can have the lion-hearted courage to share the gospel, knowing that whatever happens, whether you're physically persecuted, whether you are bullied or maligned on social media, whatever happens, God is in control. And we know that one day he will return in complete victory, and we will experience the eternal joy of being in the presence of God. And next week, we're going to begin to look at some ways of how we can reflect and share that gospel with others. But I pray that this morning, that you would be encouraged with the reality that we can have courage in sharing the gospel because we belong to God. That our sharing and suffering with Jesus is actually one of the greatest compliments a Christian can receive. We can have courage when we share the gospel because we're called to rely on the shepherd and not on ourselves. And finally, we can have courage to share the gospel because we're called to have an eternal perspective that Jesus will come again one day and we will rejoice in outright victory. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the teachings of Jesus. It's a hard teaching. It's an honest teaching. But it's a teaching that is rooted in reality. And God, my prayer as followers of Jesus, as the church, as an embassy of the kingdom of God, and as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, my prayer is that we would take to heart these words and that we would have courage and boldness to share the gospel because we know that you are victorious and we know that you are coming again and that whatever happens here on earth, if we are in Christ and have salvation through the blood of Jesus, that we know that one day we will be in your presence for eternity. It doesn't matter what happens here on earth with our lives. So God, give us that courage. Give us that hope this week. In Jesus' name, amen.